Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Charlotte Talks. I'm Eric Spanberg, in for Mike Collins. The eyes of the golf world turned to Charlotte this week, more specifically Quail Hollow Club, which is where the 107th PGA Championship tees off Thursday and concludes Sunday. The PGA Championship is one of golf's four major championships. Top courses across the nation bid to host the tournament, which changes sites every year. Quail Hollow opened in 1961 and first held a pro golf event in 1969. That annual tournament left in 1979. In 2003, Quail Hollow, after renovations to the course, landed back on the PGA Tour with a yearly tournament. Led by club president Johnny Harris, the son of one of Quail Hollow's co-founders, the club has built a national reputation over the past 20 years. First, a brief primer. The PGA Championship, the event that is here this week, is owned and run by the PGA of America. A separate entity, the PGA Tour, oversees the weekly tournaments that make up most of the golf calendar, including the Wells Fargo Championship, which has been played at Quail Hollow every year unless a major is in town. And of course, the Wells Fargo Championship is now the Truist Championship, but that's another story for another day. With that in mind, today's show is covering all things PGA Championship, and we'll begin with Jason Soucy, who is the championship director. And after that, we will have an all-star media panel take us through the storylines of the week. With that, we turn to Jason. Welcome to Charlotte Talks.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Okay, Jason, you and I have been talking about this week since you moved to Charlotte early in 2023 to lead the PGA of America's sales and organizing efforts. As we sit here now, how has the club been transformed and what's left for you to do?
No, yeah, thanks, Eric. I think when we first chatted, we were joking. I was using my daily countdown of like 775 days at that point, and here we are at day one. So unfortunately, day one is now going to be tomorrow. That's the number one thing I want to make sure, you know, everyone is aware. Unfortunately, no spectators are going to be allowed on property. We're in the midst of 1 to 3 inches of rain that's going to be falling here in the last 24 hours. So that's unfortunate from our standpoint, since we were thrilled to be able to open the gates today and get it started for everyone. That being said, hopefully, the ability to transition those Monday ticket buyers to either Tuesday or Wednesday, complimentary to them is a step in the right direction. Anyone who bought parking for today that had a ticket for Monday, they can also park in the same lots either Tuesday or Wednesday if they so choose. So it might be a little bit of a delayed start. Hopefully they can alter their plans and still come out and enjoy a major championship. But everything that this grounds team has done to get this golf course in tremendous condition, we wanted to make sure that we kept this major championship venue in pristine condition and get out there. So the players will still be coming in and registering, but there's no spectators allowed today for Monday, but we'll hopefully be opening up for business tomorrow.
And Jason, for people who have tickets today, they can use them tomorrow or Wednesday. Is that right?
Yeah. The goal is that if you have a Monday ticket, ideally, you can, change your plans and come out tomorrow and you can scan in your Monday ticket and that'll work just like it would have on Monday. If you bought parking in one of our external lots, if you want to scan it there and come in tomorrow, that'll work tomorrow just as it would have on Monday. If you can't do that, you still have the ability to transfer that ticket to Wednesday as well. So anyone who is supposed to come today has the ability to transition their Monday experience to either a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
So let's talk a little bit about once people are at the club, which hopefully is tomorrow, how does it look different? What have you done out there? I think you started building in February. What can people expect to see?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's for us as PGA of America, PGA Championship, we've only been at Quail Hollow one time for a major championship. The only time a major championship has come here to Charlotte The bar was raised really high in 2017. We had an incredible experience here. The leadership at Quail Hollow Club is, in my mind, they have no peer when it comes to annual tour events at Quail Hollow Club. So for them to open up the doors to us here, we were excited to look at, what's changed in golf, what's changed in spectator championships since we were here in 2017. They've hosted a President's Cup. We were able to look at those models. For the first time in PGA Championship history, we've tried to go vertical with our hospitality essentially versus linear. The Quail Hollow Club is notorious for their green mile finishing stretch of holes. From a major championship perspective, I think it played 488 over par in 2017. So it's a pretty demanding stretch of golf. Our goal was to get as many hospitality partners out there as possible. So we used about every linear foot that was available to put a hospitality structure on, on both 18 green, 18 fairway, 17 approach to 17 green. All of those structures are double duckers for the first time at a Quail Hollow Club professional event, and definitely the first time for the PGA of America for our PGA Championship. So that's one of the things I think people will notice maybe the most from those who've come to an annual event or PGA Championship. The secondary thing that I think is, the most unique from any major spectator championship right now is that because there's only four majors a year, the opportunity to get out here to Charlotte to watch the best players in the world globally play golf. We want to make sure our fans can watch as much golf as possible. So we've introduced the Championship Plus food inclusive program. Every ticket on property will have unlimited access to concessions during the operating hours while they're here on property. We'll have five major markets all throughout, the golf course spread out strategically so that if you're following your favorite player, you can hop through a market, grab an entree, a snack, a non-alcoholic beverage, and there's no transaction. You literally just grab what you want, come back out of the concessions. There'll be pouring bars out there for alcohol, but from a concession standpoint, we wanted to reduce that transaction time as much as possible and get our fans out there watching as much as golf as possible. And so I think that separates us from, any other major professional sporting event right now, from an operational procedure where, any events of our size are, I've never heard of anyone offering that level of access for fans. And hopefully that'll be a truly memorable experience for everyone that is able to come out and enjoy here Tuesday through Sunday.
Now, Jason, for people who are not immersed in the golf world and maybe listening today and have just heard in the past few weeks or past few months, PGA Championship this, PGA Championship that, and they know it's a golf thing and that's kind of what they know. Why is the PGA Championship one of the four majors? Why is it a big deal in the golf world?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, it's interesting, especially here in Charlotte. I think this market's probably a little bit more in tune than maybe some others because of the annual event and even the changes that have gone on with that annual event where they've now gone from a full field championship to a reduced field signature event with only the top 70 players that are playing currently on the PGA Tour initially eligible for that event. There are four major championships in golf. Each kind of run by their own governing body. You've got Augusta National that has the Masters in April every year, the U.S. Open Father's Day weekend essentially every year with from the USGA, and then across the pond you've got the former the British Open or now the Open is staged every year globally. The fourth major is the PGA Championship. This will be the 107th playing of the PGA Championship. The PGA of America is the Association of Golf Professionals. We have over 30,000 golf professionals working at facilities all throughout the country, growing the game of golf, teaching the game of golf. This championship has been an honor of that group since 1916. So the history and tradition of major championships is what I think sets us apart. The players that are participating in professional golf to get a major championship on your resume still, I think, is as many as many whether the size of the purses and things get to the point where it's astronomical beyond any of our wildest imaginations, I think, back when I first started following golf. So getting your name engraved on one of those trophies is something that drives most of these professional players, especially those that are incredibly accomplished. Like that's what their goals are. They kind of build their calendars every year around a major championship. And we're fortunate enough now, formerly we were here in August, now the place on the tour calendar is the PGA Championship takes place in May. We still are, in my opinion, it's the only all professional field in major championships. It's the most global field. Traditionally, it's always had the most official world ranked players. Obviously, the status of world rankings is up for some debate as of now, but currently our field contains 99 of the top 100 world ranked players. Globally, we have over 26 countries represented, but the best players on the PGA Tour, they're currently playing, in addition to the players that maybe have a great name recognition that have formerly been on the tour that now haven't been on the PGA Tour, but players like Brooks Koepka, who won the PGA Championship in 2023, Bryson DeChambeau won the US Open here in North Carolina, Jon Rahm, players that aren't currently regularly playing the PGA Tour, the one chance they get to compete against all the best players in the world annually now is at the PGA Championship and the other three majors.
Now, Jason, as I mentioned, sales is a big part of your job, but so is logistics, organization, working with local government and the club, obviously, and business leaders to figure out how to get 200,000 people in and out of this club over the course of the week. Give people a sense of what you're doing and what they can expect.
Yeah, I would say once again, much like Quail Hollow Club has no peer when it comes to staging annual professional events, the ability to stage a major championship within metropolitan Charlotte is such a huge benefit for us. I mean, we've that same time frame that you and I have been talking, we've been meeting monthly with CMPD, Fire, CDOT, to make sure that we can move people safely in and out of Glen Eagles Boulevard here. In Charlotte City Center. I unfortunately was up at 4 a.m. this morning coming in and meeting, our CMPD team was already here. We were already discussing like what's the best thing we're going to do because we were trying to see if we could still get people in and out of here safely this morning. And I think that the cohesion, the synergy, the shared vision has been just, great since the start. So we've worked with the city closely. We've worked with CATS. We have complimentary light rail service for the rest of the week. Anyone whose ticket on the corresponding day of their ticket, they can take the light rail for free to come on in here with a shuttle service directly to the golf course from the Sharon Road West Station, which is closed operationally for the week, but the shuttle will come from that station. We've worked with the city to manage a traffic program to allow rideshare to come directly to the property this year. That is no small endeavor. Both of those, I do caution everyone that there may be wait times with both of those groups as it's kind of impossible to understand like the flow of traffic there. So we did also work with the city to allow spectator parking at Carowinds, Park Expo Center, Ballantyne for the days of theirs as well. So there will be shuttles directly as part of your ticket, part of your purchase of parking there. So overall, it's been great to work with the city.
With that, we're going to let Jason Soucy, who is the championships director, we're going to let him get back to fixing the weather and taking care of everything. Jason, we wish you a sunny week, and thank you so much for being here with us. And we will check in with you as the tournament goes on. Stay with us right here on Charlotte Talks. We're going to catch up with our all-star media panel on the PGA Championship right here on Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.
Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and we are talking PGA Championship for today's show. The 107th edition of the PGA Championship is in Charlotte at Quail Hollow Club, with practice rounds through the early part of the week, followed by four rounds of competition Thursday through Sunday. We just heard from Championship Director Jason Soucy, and now we will hear from a group of reporters who will be at the club this week. Carla Metz is Sports Director at Queen City News, Ashley Mahoney is a reporter at Axios Charlotte. And despite having one eye on the Carolina Hurricanes playoff series, Mike Salarte, sports director at Spectrum News One Charlotte, is here too. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right. So let's talk a little bit. We were talking to Jason about all the stuff that has to happen to make this thing go. Number one being it's got to stop raining. Once we get on the course, let's talk about some of what's going to happen out there. For everyone, I think that conversation begins with Rory McIlroy, who just won the Masters last month for the first time. As all of you know, Rory is beloved in golf, but especially so in Charlotte. So what makes him the player to watch this week? And I'll let whoever wants to start, start.
Mike, you want to go or you want me to go?
I can jump in. I mean, Rory is Charlotte's adopted son. Remember, he won his first PGA Tour event here on the same golf course, which has been changed since he first won it. But every year he celebrates a birthday here in Charlotte, and he's always a contender on this track. And so because of the fact that he's been very successful at Quail Hollow, I think that, and his personality is as bubbly as the creek alongside 18 Green. So, I mean, he's a guy that fans have just gravitated to because he's such a great ambassador for the game, and he's played so well in Charlotte. And, you know, as they say, horses for courses at Quail Hollow Club, Rory McIlroy's a thoroughbred. So, I mean, there's a big reason why he's considered a favorite this week.
Yeah, and I think what a great storyline to have him coming in, especially after the Masters, right? And the emotion that we saw of him finally getting that major, getting the Grand Slam. I think he's a favorite really for any PGA fan that's going to come in and watch this tournament this weekend and this major. But I think, you know, he's had a lot of success so far this season too with the players as well. And you look at, you know, his success, like Mike talked about, at Quail Hollow, four times winning here in the past. He just, if you hear him talk about Quail Hollow, he talks about just how much fun he has. Like every shot that he has from this course, he almost has like this great memory to back it up. And I think that's, you know, you think about sports in general, anytime a player goes to a stadium or goes to a track or anywhere that they've had a lot of success for in the past, they are automatically have a positive feeling going into the tournament. You can only imagine that Rory has that same kind of mindset going into this, but also he is known for his long drives, right? And this is a course that is really long. And if you have a really great tee shot off the tips here, I mean, that's what's going to bode well. And now we add in the fact that it is, you know, kind of rainy conditions all week. So this course is going to play a lot slower too. So I think, you know, this sets up well for him, right? If he can hit it well off the tee box and play his irons right, I mean, I just think this is going to be another one where he's just going to be in contention because he's coming in with confidence. Because of the success in the past, but also just his game lends itself really well to this course.
Mike mentioned the first win of Rory's career was here at Quail Hollow. For those of us who were there, I think Rory was approximately 15 and a half years old when he won that tournament. He was a much, much younger man. Ashley, what stands out to you about Rory McIlroy and his storyline this week?
Well, I mean, mostly that all of us are waiting for with bated breath for him to purchase a home here in Charlotte, like you asked him after he won the Wells Fargo Championship last year. So do we realistically think that's going to happen? No. Would we love for that to happen, to have the King of Quail Hollow have a home in Charlotte? Absolutely. There is actually, for those of you who will be out at the course this week, if you spot a bald eagle on the course, there's a very good chance that is, in fact, Rory. And you're like, okay, Ashley, what are you talking about? So in 2016, the Raptor Center released a bald eagle out on the course, and that bird has been belovedly named Rory McIlroy. So keep your eye out there, not just on the golf that's happening, but what's flying around up above. But I mean, Rory is, like Mike and Carla said, he is just so energetic, so bubbly. So he's a reporter's dream because he's going to give you a fantastic answer no matter what. But he also owns the Puttery here in Southend. So another spot that if you watch Full Swing, the Netflix docu series about golf, you know, you've seen him here in Charlotte at the Puttery ahead of these events. So he's got a lot of ties to Charlotte beyond the game itself.
Now, beyond Rory, there are 156 players in the field. So there are a couple other guys out there to watch if you don't follow Rory. And I think two of them are the two Justins, Spieth and Thomas. Justin Spieth is going for a career Grand Slam, which is what Rory McIlroy just achieved at the Masters. Only six players in golf history have done that. Ashley, I'm going to let you go a little bit into that in a minute. And then Justin Thomas, of course, won the PGA Championship here in 2017 at Quail Hollow. He won it again in 2022 at Southern Hills. And he won the RBC Heritage last month at Hilton Head. And I believe he finished second yesterday at the Truist Championship. So he's coming in with a hot hand. So I'm going to let Carla and Mike start with Justin Thomas. What are your thoughts on him this week?
Well, I think when you look at Justin Thomas, I mean, him winning at the Heritage was a big boost for him. It snapped a 3-year winless drought on tour for him. But you also brought in Jordan Spieth into the discussion too. Let's not forget that the two of them were partnered up in the President's Cup in 22. And those two really, it was a team competition, different kind of game altogether with it being match play, but those two really played off of each other. And I think there's a lot, you know, like Ashley had said, there's a lot of good feelings for players when they get to a certain property, when they've had success. And when you have Jordan and Justin playing the way that they did at the President's Cup, a lot of those feelings for players, and having played competitive golf in my day, those feelings are real. I mean, it's not lip service. It's not a storyline. I mean, when a player goes to a golf course that he or she has had success on in the past, the minute they hit the parking lot, they're already thinking about, how am I going to get around here? How, you know, and thinking about, okay, this worked last time, that didn't work, so I'm going to go this route. They're already plotting their way around the golf course. So for Spieth and Thomas, the way that those two have had some success here, whether it's in team competition or as an individual at the PGA, like Justin won it in 2017, already they're thinking about that. And let's not overlook Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele was a runner-up at the then Wells Fargo Championship the last 2 years.
Yes.
That it was played in Charlotte. So, and he's going to be, again, he's the reigning champ of this event after winning it in Valhalla last year. So he's a guy that's definitely on the radar this week as well for me.
And Carla, before you answer, let me just fess up to the first bogey of the day. I called Jordan Spieth Justin Spieth because I had my Justin Rose and my Jordan Spieth all confused with a Justin Thomas on the side. So anyway, now that I have that straight, you go ahead.
That's a two-stroke penalty. Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah, that's totally fine. I think we all knew where you were going with that. But yeah, I mean, I think Justin Thomas obviously is always a contender. I don't think he's necessarily, you know, he did win the RBC Heritage, like you mentioned, but he hasn't really had maybe that great of a start to his season. But I think we are seeing that, you know, just this past weekend, and I think finishing second on a weekend like this, heading into the PGA Championship, certainly comes with some type of momentum, some type of confidence there. And confidence is everything in golf when you come to these majors. I always like following Justin Thomas. I just think, you know, kind of his story, just the way that he kind of takes to his own family, and, you know, just he's, you know, kind of under that mentorship of Tiger Woods too, and kind of their relationship. So I always think that that's interesting to see current players that have, you know, kind of taken a Tiger, because we all love Tiger Woods, right? But I think, you know, going to Spieth, what a cool thing for us as reporters to have, you know, a possible back-to-back Grand Slam opportunity for two players in back-to-back majors. And so I think that would be a really great storyline here. And both of those players have played well at Quail in the past. I don't necessarily know if Thomas's game off the tees is going to lend itself this weekend, but certainly Spieth has had, you know, great power off the tee in the past. And so I think those storylines are going to be really interesting. You mentioned Xander Schauffele. I loved his story last year. I think you also, right, I'm sure we're going to talk about Scottie Scheffler. I can't believe we've not talked about him up until this point.
Only top player in the world.
Yeah, top player in the world. You know, Rory might have a little bit of the media's edge right now because of all of his accomplishments this season. But Scottie, of course, is always a contender no matter where he goes. Hopefully there's no misrepresentation with the police this year as we try to get into the PGA Championship. That would be a plus for everybody in the field, I think. But just – you know, what a great guy, what a great golfer, and just so calm. And I think, you know, when you do think about the weather kind of coming into play, being unbothered by any type of condition certainly would do well. And so I think, yeah, Scottie Scheffler is somebody I always like to watch in these tournaments. But certainly, like you mentioned, Spieth and Thomas, both great golfers to be looking at this week.
Okay, Ashley, now that I know that it's Jordan Spieth and not Justin Spieth, and I'm apparently a golf expert now that I got the first names right, your thoughts on these two players and their role this week?
I mean, obviously there's the history elements that have been spoken to, but everyone wants, you want to cheer for something historic, especially here in Charlotte at Quail Hollow. And just to see Jordan with the possibility of a career Grand Slam, I mean, it's lightning in a bottle. And if he can catch it, that'll be phenomenal. But I think there will be certainly other players to keep an eye on. Can Brooks, you know, just kind of be that dark horse this week? Can Brooks Koepka, for everyone, like, who's this Brooks she's talking about? And then also Bryson DeChambeau. I think Bryson's going to be fun to watch just because he is a very silly personality. He's done very well in terms of building a kind of a, if you've seen his Break 50 series on YouTube, he's just a fun, silly personality to watch. He was in contention for the Masters before he slipped and gave that away. I don't have any good golf puns for you on that one, but there are a number of people that will certainly be worth keeping an eye on over the course of the week. So we'll see where things turn up on Sunday.
If you ever get stuck, Ashley, just throw Justin in there. It works all the time.
I mean, there's got to be enough Justins. Like, eventually, like, Justin, I'll start calling you Justin. Next time I see you, Eric, I'm going to call you Justin.
That sounds good. So I'm curious, all three of you have been at the course a lot over the years for events. For people who maybe have not spent as much time at Quail Hollow, what are some of the good vantage points you would recommend to them as the championship unfolds this week?
18. My brother and dad are heading out there, and my dad has a broken toe. So he's like, I'm posting up on 18 and I'm just going to watch everyone come through. It's a beautiful view. You'll be able to just enjoy the sunshine. Like Jason was talking about, you have that all-inclusive food and bev. So good listeners, there's no reason to not be hydrated this week. Hydrate, 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 especially as the sun comes out later in the week. It gets hot. Hydrate, make sure you're taking care of yourself. There's plenty of, you know, Gatorade, electrolytes, all those good things. But 18 is my personal pick. We'll defer to everyone else.
Mom jumping in there. Make sure you drink your water. Thanks, Mom.
We just had Mother's Day, so come on.
I had to. I look out for you guys.
That's right. We need help.
I think the answer to your question, Eric, is what do you, the spectator, want to see? Do you want to see every player in the field? If that's the case, then 18 is probably the spot because everybody's going to get to 18 at some point. You get to see them finish. If you want to see birdies, if you want to see changes in the leaderboard, if you want to see guys making a move, trying to climb the leaderboard and get to the lead or stay in the lead, then just working my way back from 18, the 15th hole is the par five. It's a scoring opportunity. Hole 14 is a short par four, a very good scoring opportunity there. From what I'm told, and I don't know where all the hospitality locations are because normally during the PGA Tour event, I'm going from one green to another and trying to get there as fast as I can with my camera so I can shoot the action. That won't be the case this week. So, but from what I'm told, there's a spectator area near, I want to say near the 17th or 16th fairway, where you can see across the pond players playing 14 into 15. You can see the action coming into 16 or the tee shots at 17. And that's, you know, obviously the food and beverage setup the way that it is this week at the PGA is going to be pretty key in all that. So that's the back nine in terms of viewing areas for scoring. On the front nine, hole number seven is usually a birdie opportunity being a par five. Hole number eight is also a very good birdie opportunity because it's a shortish par four. And so if you can get to those spots, the seven and eight are a good bit away from the clubhouse. They're at the furthest point on the property. So if you want to enjoy a very nice stroll to get to those locations through the beautiful grounds of Quail Hollow, then go there. But it's, you know, like I say, it just depends on what you want to see. If you want to see all the players come through, what I used to do growing up in Chicago, I used to go to the Western Open at Butler National and then Cog Hill. I would just go to one hole. It didn't even matter which one, but I'd get there early enough, get my spot on the rope and be camped out there, basically make a day of it. just to see all the players in the field come through. And then once it was usually 15 or 16. And then once the last group came through, I went up to the car. It's like, okay, I've seen everybody. I can beat the traffic out of here. So, but that was when you could park at an event. So it's a little different now with the shuttle service. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it just depends on what you want to see. Do you want to go and see every player, or do you want to see the tournament action as it's unfolding? I would say if you want to see the tournament action unfolding, go to those birdie locations, the par five greens, and make a day of it there.
And the other thing, Mike, you got me thinking here a little bit about, you know, going as a spectator, assuming that we get the gates open Tuesday and Wednesday, for people who have not been around golf a lot, professional golf, practice rounds are great because the players are relaxed comparatively. You're much more likely to get an autograph if that's your thing, or a photo, but just to be able to get up close and watch them at work. I assume you agree.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, that is a great way to see the players before they switch on to competition mode. I mean, yes, it's a work day for them. You know, they're hitting extra shots out of the bunkers, and they're hitting longer, you know, extra putts around on and around the greens, just to kind of get an idea of where the pins are going to be throughout the week, and how the ball is going to react out of certain grasses, and certain, whether it's the deeper rough or just off the fringe of the chipping areas, you know, how balls come out of the bunker, what kind of bite the greens are going to have, which they're going to have a lot with all the water we've had the last couple of days, but all the rain we've had. But yeah, no, they are absolutely in a much different frame of mind. And these players on the tour, they know that when the cameras are off and it's not competition time, they know that they are there and the fans are there for them. And they do a lot of them are tremendous at giving a moment here for a photo or an autograph or that sort of thing. So yeah, practice days, Tuesday and Wednesday, that's really an opportunity to go and see these guys as just people, because once the tournament starts on Thursday, they get into that competition mode, and it's a completely different state of mind for every one of these players, whether they're a touring pro or one of the 20 some PGA professionals that got into the field.
Well, we're going to take a quick time out. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the course itself, the Harris family that built that course, and some of the things that you can do when you're not watching golf this week at the PGA Championship. Stay with us right here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins. PGA Championship is in Charlotte this week for the first time since 2017, and we have a panel of experts that are talking to us about the high points. Championship Director Jason Soucy was here at the beginning of the show, and since then, I've been joined by Carla Metz from Queen City News, Ashley Mahoney of Axios Charlotte, and Mike Salarte from Spectrum News One Charlotte. Carla, I don't think we were able to get some of your favorite vantage points on the course. What do you think when you wander out around Quail Hollow? What's a good spot to watch golf?
Yeah, I mean, I loved your points to both of those, right? I think, honestly, practice rounds are my favorite, and I think that's just because I don't necessarily love the crowd that some of these championship events bring a lot of times, and you're not fighting for a spot to, like, see your favorite golfers or to see the course, but it's also a great time too, I think, during practice rounds to pick out your spots that you want to set up at on Thursday through Sunday. But I agree with what Ashley said. I mean, I think the 18th hole, right, especially because I know we haven't talked a ton about the green mile yet. We heard Jason Soucy mention it a little bit. And Mike, I thought your point was great too, of hole 15, right? Because I think a lot of guys make some really great shots there, and then they head into the green mile and everything kind of collapses. So it depends on, do you want to see your golfer really succeed and on this course, or do you want to see that collapse and kind of the drama that, you know, hole 16 through 18 brings? So I'm always a fan of that. I just love when the tournament starts, right, and you start on the first hole and everybody gets introduced. I just think that's just such a fun thing to be a part of, right? And you've got the kind of the gallery in a sense of everybody's in the stands and the stands that they have set up temporarily. And it's just a fun feeling to feel that this, you know, this huge event that you get to be a part of, but how lucky we are in Charlotte, I think, to have such an event like this here again after it came in 2017.
Well, Carla, since you mentioned the Green Mile, of course, I prefer to think of it as the Justin Mile, but that's just me. Since you mentioned the Green Mile, tell people, again, who may not follow golf closely, what is the significance of the Green Mile? What is it, first of all, and then why is it renowned in the golf world?
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, right, it's because we mentioned earlier in the show how long of a course this is and how your driving range really kind of comes into play. And these are, you know, the longest stretch of holes. And I think just with where the locations of everything are, where the bunkers are, it just is a really treacherous stretch for drivers to try and finish, right? And you think about this being hole 16, 17, 18, you've played all day, right, as a professional golfer, and then you have to finish strong. You have to have that mentality. And again, these holes are just one of the toughest stretches in all of the courses that these players play. And again, we talk about the collapse, and that happens a lot on holes 16, 17, and 18. And it's just really interesting to watch these golfers who maybe have performed all well all day, and then again head to the Green Mile. I can't remember exactly the yardage of all three combined, but it's a par four, a par three, and a par four over I think 1400 yards. So it's just a really long stretch and a really treacherous stretch. I think all of the players would kind of tell you that.
Ashley, let's get to the really important heart of the matter here. Food and merch. I know, because you were stuck sitting next to me at a couple of these events. We're at some behind the scenes tours last week. Kind of set the scene for people heading out to Quail Hollow. What should they expect?
Oh, gosh. Well, if you had a chance to head out to the massive, nearly 50,000 square feet, bigger than a football field, merch tent over the weekend and get yourself a little something, or maybe do some early Christmas shopping like I did on Friday, you know, you can never start too early, or holiday shopping, whatever it happens to be for you. You will come on to the course, you know, you'll enter, you'll go past the massive replica trophy, you'll make your way down toward hole one, and on your left will be this massive tent. Except it's not just a massive tent. It is, again, larger than a football field, and it's where you're going to get your merch. So if you are looking for a little something to take home, or something for the golf fanatic in your family, your fiance, whoever it may be, not that I'm speaking from experience, but it's a great place to get a little something for friends, family. I'm just saying, I did a lot of shopping for family over the weekend. But in addition to all of that, you'll also have all-inclusive food and bev, which Jason spoke to. So all-inclusive food and bev means that when you come in, you do not have to worry about, okay, well, how much is a water going to cost me? How much is that Gatorade going to cost me? Nothing. It's included in your ticket. So if you weren't happy about your ticket price, just know you're being fed possibly breakfast, lunch, and multiple snacks throughout the day. How many Krispy Kreme donuts can you eat? I don't know. We'll find out. At least that's what my family's doing. They're like, we want to see how many hot dogs we can eat. We want to see how many Krispy Kreme donuts you can eat. So you will have breakfast options. You'll have coffee, if coffee is your jam, you'll have Krispy Kreme donuts. We did check. Yes, it is Krispy Kreme donuts. Had to verify that. People are specific about their donuts, but you'll also have, you know, sausage, biscuits. You'll have other sorts of biscuits, other breakfast options. There will be vegan options as well. We've had a number of people reach out to us like, hey, I've got dietary restrictions, or I follow something specific. Will there be things for me aside from, you know, a hot dog and a biscuit? Yes, they've got you covered. When you walk into one of five markets on site, you walk into the market, you select your drink. One drink, you select one snack, so that can be cookies, chips, pretzel, or whatever you want in that given moment, and then you select one entree. So your entree can either be a sandwich, a salad, and now this varies based on breakfast versus lunch, but you can also get a grilled chicken sandwich with a little slaw, you can have a burger, you can have a hot dog, you can have sausage and peppers. So you can come in, you grab one of each, walk right on out, and then if you decide 2 seconds later that you want another one, go back in and grab one of each. And it's really that simple. I think a lot of people saw this as, okay, there's all-inclusive food and bev. What does that actually mean? Don't overthink it. It's not that hard. It's really as simple as it sounds. Now, if you want alcohol, if you want to enjoy a beer while you're out there, you want to enjoy a glass of wine, a cocktail, that you do have to pay for. So there will be pouring stations or bars, if you will, throughout the course. I believe the cheapest beer is $14.50, and those prices range. Everything is under $20, but you know, it's standard golf stadium sporting event prices. So, yeah, that is what you're looking forward to for food and bev.
Wow, that was pretty thorough. So that's the voice of Ashley Mahoney from Axios Charlotte. Carla Metz from Queen City News is with us, and also Mike Solarte from Spectrum News One Charlotte. So, Mike, I'm going to give you a little trivia question. I think you can handle this one. Who is Rodman Wanamaker, and how does he fit into this week?
Well, my history with Mr. Wanamaker is very sparse. You know, we ran in the same circles 130 years ago, but, you know, we kind of had a little falling. And I just know that the trophy is named after Mr. Wanamaker. That much I do know. I don't know his impact on PGA professionals and PGA of America. I do know that that his name adorns that very large trophy that someone will be holding up on Sunday night, though, that's for sure.
And that's really all you need to know, although he did help start the PGA of America, and it does weigh 27 pounds, Golf Week told me last night. So while we're
But let me tell you this, it may weigh 27 pounds, but the guy that lifts it on Sunday is going to be as light as a feather.
That's
true. I can promise you that.
That is true. And while we're on the topic of businessmen and golf, that might be a good time to bring up Johnny Harris, who I mentioned earlier, Quail Hollow Club president, and the man that most people credit with the golf renaissance that we've seen here for the past 20, 25 years. So, Mike, I'm going to stick with you for a moment. Johnny Harris's influence on golf and sports in Charlotte, what do you think of?
I think of something that cannot be measured. Johnny Harris is synonymous with the golf course, with Quail Hollow Club. He is synonymous with the Wachovia Championship, which became the Quail Hollow Championship, which became the Wells Fargo Championship, which is going to be the Truist Championship. And none of those events happen. There is no 2017 PGA Championship. There is no 2022 President's Cup. There is no 2025 PGA Championship without Johnny Harris and the membership at the Quail Hollow Club. And he's the point man for all of it. There is not a bigger champion of the game in the city of Charlotte that I know of than Johnny Harris. Let's not ignore the elephant in the room. Johnny Harris is a very wealthy man. He's a very rich man. He's a very wealthy man. But for every dollar that he, you know, calls his own, it is multiplied tenfold in his passion for the game. And I think it's a credit to him that the city of Charlotte is on the map. There's a quick story. There's a friend of mine that I used to work with, a guy named Brad Broder, born in Charlotte, was a reporter for our station. He's now a news director, I believe, in Virginia. And he was always, you know, beating the drum that the byline from the Associated Press always said Charlotte, comma, NC. Mm-hmm. But in Brad's mind, Charlotte is a standalone city. It doesn't need the NC. If there's a guy that's helped remove that NC off of that byline in the world of golf, it's Johnny Harris, period. Because without Johnny Harris and his love of the PGA Tour, love of the game of golf, we don't have 20 plus years of championship golf in the 704. So any measure of, you know, and I'm trying to do the best I can to be as respectful and encompassing as I possibly can. But I don't think that what he's done for the city and what he's done for the game can be measured here in Charlotte.
Ashley, I'm curious, aspects that can be measured a little bit, economic impact. I think you've dug into some of that. What do we expect from the PGA Championship this week, and what are some of the benefits?
Roughly 200,000 people, 40,000 people on peak days. Tickets are sold out for Friday and Saturday. And you'll also see roughly they're expecting an economic impact of $100 million. That's a lot of money. So that's a lot that can go into what makes it. We've all heard this at one point or another. Charlotte aspires to be, or Charlotte is, a world-class city. Mm-hmm. And if you got a press release from the city, they did use that definition, because Charlotte's hosting not just the PGA Championship, they're hosting the FIFA Club World Cup. This is a city aspiring to host a Rugby World Cup, a city aspiring to host a Women's World Cup in future years. So what does, I mean, you might think, okay, that's golf, that's football, that's rugby, all these different sports, as these all come together, it puts Charlotte on the map. So if you've spoken to anyone, whether they're in the hotel industry or if they are someone who has a son or a daughter who's heading out there this week, by the way, kids get in free if they're under 15 with an adult ticket, max two kids. But if you have someone who is aspiring to be a professional athlete, you know, this just gives them this kind of wide-eyed look of, look at what's possible. Look at what you can do in the place that you call home. And if you're someone coming in from out of town, or you're someone watching this on TV in another city, another state, another country, it makes you think, wow, look at what's happening there. So it's all of this. You can't measure some of the intangibles, but you can definitely measure that 100 million economic impact.
Carla, I'm curious, what do you see in Charlotte's golf future? Mike and Ashley just went through a lot of the significant events that we've had in the past 20 years. Where do you see it going from here?
Well, I mean, I think the game of golf is growing immensely and already has over probably the last 10 years. We've seen a boom. And I think, you know, even me growing up in a generation where Tiger Woods was the man, you know, like he kind of put that sport even more so on the map for younger generations. And then I think there's just so many great players to follow right now. But I think you think about the Carolinas in general, there's so many beautiful golf courses that are in driving distance to us in both North and South Carolina. And I think it's just amazing. This is also, you know, my brother's the golf coach at App State for the women's team. And you think about, you know, for so long, like this was a game that a lot of guys played, but there's so many women that get together and play. And this is just it's one of those sports, right? And I think you talk about this a lot too, even if you don't play competitively or play in golf like Mike did, you know, you can still play it at any age. At, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, body type you have. You don't have to have a football player's body type to go out and play it. You don't have to have the strongest swing, right? You can take some lessons. And I think just the younger generation too, right? I think we're seeing a lot of young athletes pick lower impact sports because of the toll that some of these higher impact sports take on their body. Like, look, if you want to play golf, and especially if you're a female, you want to get a scholarship in college to go play a sport. Golf is a great one. If you can shoot in the 80s, like, you're probably going to get a scholarship as a female. And I just think that's a pretty exciting opportunity for a lot of people. And also you think about just the places, especially as a collegiate golfer, where you get to travel and play. You get to go to some of the most beautiful golf courses around. So I think it's definitely a growing sport, especially in the Carolinas, because of the golf courses and because of the type of weather that we get year round.
And women's major championship might be something that we look at soon here in Charlotte. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, we're getting toward the end of the show, so the pressure is on. Everybody's got to make a pick. Look, if it was me, I'd pick someone named Justin, but that's just me. So, Ashley, I'm going to start with you. What's your pick?
Rory. It's always Team Rory.
It's always Team Rory. Okay. And plus the house?
Plus the house. Rory, buy a house in Charlotte.
There you go. Mike Solarte.
My sentimental pick is Rory. My pragmatic pick is Scottie Scheffler, because remember, he won 2 weeks ago in Dallas. My dark horse pick is Shane Lowry, coming off that near miss at the Truist last week in Philadelphia. He's played a lot of good golf the last couple of weeks, and he's also a former major champ. Can hit it a mile and has great hands around the greens. But yeah, those would be the three players that I'm thinking of. But I think if I've got to pick one guy, it's probably going to be Scheffler, because the guy's just an absolute machine.
Shane Lowry's an interesting pick too. Carla, what do you think?
I mean, do we all want Rory to win? I think it's like, that's like your heart's pick, right? Especially if you're covering sports in Charlotte here. But I think, you know, I go back to Scottie Scheffler. I want to see him win another one this year. And I think it'd be fun to have him do that in Charlotte, especially just because his name is on the rise. We haven't really talked a lot about the live golfers that are going to be in the field. I think there's 16 of those right now. And so I would say, because we've talked about how the long game really plays a part in this one, I would go Bryson DeChambeau if I'm going a live golfer.
Very good. Well, what we have to do is get rid of the rain so that we can start practice rounds and start playing golf. I want to say thank you to Jason Soucy, the championship director of this week's PGA Championship. Also, Carla Metz, Ashley Mahoney, and Mike Solarte. And Mike, good luck to the Hurricanes. Everybody get out there and see the PGA Championship. It's all week at Quail Hollow Club. This is the second time our city has hosted a major golf championship. For Mike Collins, I'm Eric Spanberg. Thanks for listening to Charlotte Talks right here on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. Our producer is Chris Jones. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.